right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Zakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, welcome aboard.
Ahoy.
One more day of an SOB edition of Primetime. Suk, Ortner, and Buckley here. Ropp out, still in Vegas. I don't know about you, Suk. I have not yet received communication indicating that we won't be getting Ropp tomorrow.
No, the last I heard from him was Monday, and there was an old-fashioned being had at a brunch.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see, because I'm assuming he's coming home today, although Ropp has been known to pull the fly-in the morning/afternoon of his return. So we'll,
that is a good way to potentially accidentally build in an extra day off for yourself.
So it's as the Vancouver text line says here, Ropp, throat tickle yet? We have not received.
Haven't received the throat tickle text.
Haven't received the throat tickle. But
no.
Let's be honest. If it were to come, no one's surprised.
No, and it would probably come at earliest this evening, yeah. Maybe 8:30 or so.
Isaac Ropp is the Anthony Davis of sports radio. Extremely talented. You can build a championship on his back. When he's hurt, it's not a shock. He's not Embiid. He's my Anthony Davis. He'll go for 43-12, and then he'll end up with something that'll keep him out for like a week.
It's a little too sportsy, but I think we only mentioned this off the air yesterday, but Embiid sitting out his 400th game last night, and he's played 446.
Dude, there are guys in the NBA that just, it's just stealing money. And look, I will never fault anyone for making money. From the Paul brothers to the Kardashians.
Go get your bag.
Go get your bag, right? I think Dirt and Sprague were talking about all the celebrities that have like built up like liquor companies.
Yeah.
Sure. Dude, you want to
a hawk of tequila? Go hawk a tequila.
Have at it, man. You make $500 million, get what you can get. But the NBA, that union, dude, just stealing money and coming from a sport, the only sport I was ever any good at in football, where you just don't get those sorts of guarantee deals. It's
culturally unacceptable to sit out and to like,
you would just be gone. No, like you would never receive another contract again. Embiid would be playing on 1 year proven NFL deals for the rest of his life. Zion's just as bad. Zion basically is a shorter, fatter Greg Oden. And yet we don't view him the same way. And they just give that dude hundreds of millions of dollars. And watch, whenever his contract's up, they're going to give that bowl of gravy another couple $100 million. And then
you think so?
They will. Someone will give Zion.
See, I got to
find out when his contract's up.
I feel like someone's going to do a prove it deal with him. But you think he's going to get a full bag from somebody?
I don't know if it'll be a full bag, but it's going to be a bag. This welcome to the NBA. Do they just hand out money? And I know the new CBA, and supposedly this is supposed to curtail some of that. I haven't seen it. Have you seen what some, like, you've looked at NBA contracts and you're like, wait, you make what?
Dude, you're not like, lying. Huh? I thought that the Zion to Oden comparison was a little bit unfair to Zion.
Not.
It's not really. He's only played in 196 games.
In how many years?
Let's see. He was drafted.
He's been around a while, dude. He's not like 12 anymore.
Don't you think that that's more unfair to Oden on the comparison? Because Oden actually had real injuries. Zion's injuries are mostly because he's fat.
And
he's always like popping a hamstring or something.
Well, it's because he likes soda, not diet soda.
Yeah.
How many games? So I do want to, like, how many games has Oden played? Because he played what, like 5 years?
So Oden played 105 games over parts of 7 seasons.
Okay.
And then Zion.
Although that's unfair because, like, the last year or two, he didn't, like, he was just there, but he didn't really play at all. Remember, like, I think it was with the Heat or something.
And then looks like, so Zion was drafted in 2019, so he'd be on 1920. So he's almost to the amount of time that Oden was in the league by seasons. And he's played about twice as many games, but he's been more healthy than Oden for sure.
Yeah, Oden only played 2 years. Like, he played 2 years. He played with Portland, then he had 3 straight years where he didn't play, and then he played, like, 6 games with the Miami Heat. So if we're going, if you go off of the two seasons he played versus the two seasons that Zion's played, they're not much different. And Zion, by the way, just this year, he will make, I'm looking here, he'll make 37, then 39, 42, and 45. So yes, he will be 27 years old, and someone will sign him to another multi-hundred-million-dollar contract.
And that's the thing, is if with that age, if he's structurally sound, if he doesn't have issues with his ankles or knees, you're absolutely right.
Somebody's they gave throw a bunch him $197 million to do whatever it is he does. And yes, I'll call right now. When he hits free agency after he's got, what, three more years, someone will give him another $200 million. Absolutely.
Man, it's good to be.
And then we wonder why. And then we wonder why the NBA, like Adam Silver came out today and was talking about like reducing games. Like he wants to play 10-minute quarters.
What is that going to do?
Because that's the problem with the NBA is the length of the quarters. Okay.
I also saw that this weekend we've got the we got Pebble Beach Pro-Am coming up. I always like the Pebble Beach Pro-Am because I like the when they pair the celebrities with people at golf tournaments. I feel like we should have more of that. I know they try to do that with the match. I think those suck. But when you see the actual golf competitors with the Pro-Am people, I think that's fun.
That goes to the people always say, like, whenever you have the Olympics, you should have one random dude.
Yes.
Just so you can see how bad the average guy looks compared.
Yeah.
Because that would, I've always said that would be fun. And so, yeah, sometimes when you're watching the celebrity pro-am, like even like Tom Brady and those guys who are decent golfers.
Totally chunking a tee shot or whatever.
Yeah,
and like,
you kind of look up there and you're like, ee.
Hey, he's human too. I like that.
I would also like to point out that Ben Simmons has made over $200 million.
Oh. Actually, how many games for Ben Simmons?
That's like, again, let's look at NFL salary. It's like, Ben Simmons makes $40
million. 362 games.
Ben Simmons makes $40 million a year. And, like, I guess outside of quarterbacks, because that's the one, because the NFL does have silly contracts when it comes to quarterbacks, right? I mean, the idea that Trevor Lawrence is making $50 million is kind of sad and depressing. But if you get outside of quarterbacks, It's shameful, like the amount of money that elite NFL players are making, and then you realize that Ben Simmons has $200 million guaranteed dollars.
And there's like a bunch of those dudes in the NBA.
Oh, dude, there's a million of them. And you don't have to be good. No offense, like Anthony Simons isn't a bad player, but Anthony Simons isn't...
I wouldn't go as far as being like, well, he's just a guy, but he's kind of... He's kind of just a guy.
Dude, that dude is a dime a... You know how many players in the NBA can get you 20 a night?
Yeah.
We talk about this all the time. Like the idea of being a guy that can score 20 points in the NBA and that's like all you can do, dude, you can find those guys all over the place. But it still got him $100 million. I was like, here's $100 million guaranteed.
Well, now you've got an idea percolating in my head, kind of like, you know, if we put an everyman out there with all the Olympians. What would happen if we forced like all sports to be played with just one average Joe? Like you're stuck taking a some boob from the fan base, and like he's got to make up your starting five tonight for the 76ers. You've got Phil from Carbondale or something like that, and he's out there. He's filling in for Embiid at the four.
Be fantastic.
Just put in like one extra person, like in Little League. You know how someone you hide dies. Your worst player in right field or whatever. Like no, you've got to put somebody out there tonight with the glove, and he's got to take it at bat too. You got to do it.
Someone just goes out and just. Well, in certain sports, like...
And where would you hide someone on the football field? You couldn't, really.
I don't know. Like
a receiver?
Receiver.
Because no one could hit him unless they got thrown to?
Yeah, you just play like, you know, Buffalo plays a lot of those, like, bunch formations. You just put him, like, over there. You put him in the bunch, and you have him, like, go in motion. And then what... I mean, the other team would still have to somewhat cover him, I suppose. Because if you just leave him, like, if you just leave him alone, like...
If you pretended he didn't exist,
don't
they
throw
could
to Stone
do
Hands,
something,
like,
but...
I guess you could throw him the ball. I mean, that'd be the only place to hide him. You couldn't hide him anywhere on defense. It'd have to be on offense. Yeah, I think you'd have to hide him. Maybe at running back? I don't know. Like, if you went in empty formation, you just put him at running back and you ran, like, a little wheel route with him. You're like, we're going to run a clear out for you, and then you just kind of, you're the check down. we're just floating you out to the left, and if he throws you the ball, by all means, catch it, and if you get it, just fall down.
Fetal position immediately.
Just fall down, go to a knee.
Like you've recovered an onside kick, just curl up into a little ball.
Yeah. Hockey would be another great one. I would love to see someone on an NHL rink, just the average beer league hockey player.
Oh, no, yeah.
Because that's alarming. If you ever want to see, like, even like the WHL, that's really good hockey. You'll go to see the Winterhawks play, and those kids, and there are kids, they're 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. Some of those kids will be in the NHL in a year. And so there's some really, really good play. But I grew up taking my kids to Winterhawk games, and then we go up every year. We go up and see Canucks games. Now you can go see Kraken games. The difference between those and all those Winterhawk kids can skate. And then you see the NHL players skate, and you're like, oh my God. Then go watch like your average pickup game at Mountain View Ice Arena or wherever, like even guys that look like they can skate, when you've watched real hockey, it looks like they have some sort of palsy. It's like it's really bad to see. And imagine that
the discrepancy is insane.
It is. I don't know if there is a bigger gap between your average beer league guy in a sport than hockey. Maybe golf. Golf would be that way too. Again, if you put, you know, you put the average like 6 handicap and you put them out there in a PGA tournament.
Yeah.
You could finally test the theory on like if you just get the biggest, fattest average Joe and stick him in net, would they get enough saves?
Couldn't get a puck past him. Yeah. 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 That's a good point.
I would like to point out that guy would give up 1,000 goals.
We don't know. No one's tested that theory. It's a
not
hypothesis.
If he just, you know, hunkers down and gets big.
Like, what if we get one of those fatties from TLC 600 Pound Life? Like, would they be able to be a good goalie?
You know, this reminds me, we have a topic in the club today. Can you share or sue a rideshare service for being too fat? That'll be coming up later.
I've seen that rapper.
Yeah.
She might be a good goalie.
Yeah, I didn't, we're going to get familiar with Dank DeMoss.
I was not familiar with that rapper.
I'm not sure I still am.
I looked it up after the show. I had to.
Yeah, like Lizzo's got nothing. I mean, that's we had the Hawaiian guy that did Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh yeah,
I think he's dead. But I think
he
died a long time ago. But I think he was like 6 spins. I think his name was like Israel something or other.
There's another guy.
It's bad.
Right now that's been viral. I think his name is like, I want to say it's like Dave Blunts. Do you know who this
is?
It is
Dave Blunts.
He's a dude who's like, he's literally too big to stand up and perform. Oh, so he gets like wheeled out on a couch.
He has oxygen.
Yeah. And he's like on oxygen.
He has an oxygen mask. So he raps a verse and then he puts the oxygen mask on and then he raps another verse.
And he's wearing purple. He looks like Grimace. And by the way, let me state for the record, like I feel bad for people like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm the thinnest person in the world, and I certainly have been fatter than I am now. And I know it sucks when you get on an airplane and like you spill over to another seat, but dude, if you're 600 pounds, I'm sorry.
You've got something to do with that.
Yeah, some of that's on you. And
most of that's on you.
So if you can't, like, it's silly that you're asking airlines or an Uber to accommodate you. Like, you can't be the outlier of outliers and be like, how dare you don't have something that works for me. If I'm 9 feet tall, I can't buy a coach ticket and then be upset that Spirit Airlines, that I don't fit on that. It is not up to Spirit Airlines to accommodate the outlier.
Yes.
So that's just, I know it sucks. I know people, that's one of those things where it's like, oh, I can't believe I have to buy 2 seats. Well, I don't know what you want to do because you can't fit in one. And I know it sucks. I really don't fit in one, but if I suddenly ballooned up to 3 times my size,
someone's going to have to be reasonable and honest about it. There's got to be some truth telling here.
Yeah. Yeah. Every now and then, like with Zion, you just got to tell the truth.
Primetime follow up. Texter says, I've told my dad that I text into the show every once in a while, and went on the phone with me yesterday. He asked if I was the one who sharted in traffic.
No.
And yes, he was.
He
this person texted us.
Really?
And
he had to come clean?
Oh, I assume so, because how would he have known?
Well, he couldn't have done it in traffic. He'd have to come clean after.
That's true. You do. That's when you just go right to the shower.
Well, right.
Those get burned.
I think this person texted us that happened, and then his dad was like, hey, I'm listening. Was that you? And like, I think that that's that. I'm putting that together right, I assume.
Well, maybe,
maybe I'm jumping the gun on that and putting connecting dots that aren't there. But
well, it's possible that guy's got a history. Because let's be honest, if you are someone that has an irritable bowel or you've got some lactose issues, look, I'll be honest. I have issues when I'm walking the dog in the morning. Like, there's times that I come running into the house, and my family knows what's up. If you see me bolting into the house and the dog leash just gets thrown, everyone knows what's up. So I think this isn't one of the, like, you either are or you aren't one of these people. So yes, if I was a regular texter into a show and my significant other or my kids were listening and that happened, they would probably do one of those, hey, was that you? I feel like that's you. So this guy probably has a, he's got a rep.
Text line's on fire today. One person says Bowl of Gravy sounds like a rapper that Ortner listens to.
I could see Ortner listening to Bowl of Gravy.
I just stick to Jelly Roll.
No, of course, no Bowl of Gravy.
Young Gravy?
Young Gravy.
Yeah, I'm not listening to that guy. That guy sucks.
And is Rop the street clothes of the fan? I think that's, that's probably right.
Yeah, Rop's not playing hurt. We'll say that
he's
right
not
now.
Embiid. He's not out half the time.
No, but he's not playing hurt. But that's why I said he's my...
It's more like a Kawhi, like a, I won't do back-to-backs anymore. Well, and
I thought Anthony Davis was a nice...
Anthony Davis is really solid. That was a good place to start.
He's the Anthony Davis of the fan. He's elite. And,
gives fair credit for the talent, yeah.
He wins titles, but, you know, hey.
Not always going to be there for you.
No, not always going to be there for you. He's not, you know what? He's not playing 82 games. How about that?
Let's get into some sports. What the hell are the Blazers doing?
Yeah.
That's coming up next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Stunning weight revelations during the break. Yes, we were talking about the rapper who's suing Lyft and the Lyft driver because she was too big to ride.
Yeah.
And then we got into, was it Dave Blunt? Is that who it is, Ortner? Dave Blunt?
Yep, he's a rapper.
And he's like... I mean, I think he's like 600 pounds. And then somebody texted in that Big Pun was 700 pounds and died of a heart attack on stage. And I remember Big Pun, and to say I remember him, I remember Still Not a Playa, and I remember it being on the Rush Hour soundtrack and that being
Terror
like
Squad, man.
The song of like 1998 or something like that. But I was like, there's no way he was 700 pounds. We looked it up.
Yep.
They estimated he was 698 pounds when he died.
Yeah, when he died, he was 5'7", 698.
It's insane.
Hey, and then, by the way, there's photos.
Yeah, it's
yowzers.
It's rough.
Well, again, you died of a heart attack and respiratory failure at 28 years old.
Yeah.
It's not good. Hey, bottom line is this. We all dig our own grave. It's just how fast we dig and what shovel we use. So I guess he just dug a little faster and had a big old shovel.
Well,
that was more of like a snow plow sort of thing. That's a snow shovel he was digging with.
Well, in analogies that might just segue, how about the Blazers and whatever grave they're digging for themselves right now? Because we thought...
Break them up!
We thought that this was going to be a... Really a tankathon season. We were talking about Capture the Flag from the back end of last season being a deal. And, you know, they were kind of plucky early. They started out like 4-6 or something. And people were like, what are they doing? And then they got bad for a while. Well, now they've won 5 of 6. And they just kind of whooped up on an Eastern Conference powerhouse in Milwaukee. And listen, if you want to see growth from certain players and you want to see the team win, then this is all wonderful for you. But it still feels like we're careening towards this permanent purgatory of we're good enough to compete, but we're not bad enough to get any better.
The tankathon thing, it is weird now because you're closer to the play-in than you are the worst record in the league.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Danny talks about this all the time. Like, the way they've weighted it now, the top four spots all kind of, they have the same odds, right?
Right.
And so it really doesn't behoove you to be the Washington Wizards. Like, that doesn't matter.
But you need to be in that mix down there.
And then from 5 and 6, you have just a slightly less chance. So the top six are really right there. I think it's a 4% chance difference, if I'm not mistaken. So I think the top four have the same percentage. And then 5 and 6, I think it's a 4-point drop. And then there's a huge drop off after that. 7, 8, 9, it gets exponentially worse. So you need to be in the top six, right? So the question becomes, because right now you're right there, right around that top six.
Yeah, so to the numbers that you're speaking of, teams 1, 2, and 3 all have a 14%
okay,
chance.
Okay, 1, 2, and 3. So
and
it's not...
4 has 12.5%. So it's like they're all right there. And then even 5 has a 10.5%. Then 6 gets 9. 7 gets 7.5. You get to 8, you're at 6%.
Yeah,
so, 4.5, 3, and so on.
So really, you want top 5. Top 6 is not that much different. Then after that, you're just, it's a wing and a prayer, right?
Right.
So you're not catching Utah. You're not going to be New Orleans. You're certainly not going to be the Wizards. You're probably not going to be Charlotte. So it's you, it's Brooklyn, it's Toronto, it's Philly.
And right now you are 4 games behind Toronto and in the win column behind Toronto and Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And you're 6 games behind Charlotte and New Orleans.
Let's also realize, too, that over the last 3 years, no one has tanked harder after the All-Star break than the Blazers. Yeah. I think they have like 13 combined wins after the All-Star break in the last 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. Like, they pull the cord like no other.
Yeah.
So I understand the idea that this is a little like, oh, God, what are we doing here, right? We're 5 of 6, and we're not playing – well, we are playing the young guys, but not starting. Scoot went to the bench. Shaden went to the bench. During the stretch runs, like to close these games out, you're not seeing them on the floor. You're going with more of the veterans. Mm-hmm. So I definitely understand why people are upset about this. I wish I could tell you that I had a better idea of exactly what they're doing. I think we'll have a better idea after the All-Star break. We'll see what sort of moves are made. We'll see if who starts long-term sitting out. Like Jeremy Grant got hurt last night. If he's around, do you end up sitting him? Do you start seeing, you know, more of Donovan Clingan? Do you see less of Ayton? Do you see less of, mm-hmm. of Time Lord? Do you see, you know, maybe Scoot or Shaden going back into the starting lineup? Because it does feel right now that it's a weird, you're in kind of a weird purgatory where you don't have a team good enough to win. You don't have a team good enough to be remotely competitive against the best teams in the NBA on a night-to-night basis. I think the Milwaukee one, dude, that's their Super Bowl. Dame's back in town. You could tell.
Yeah.
Like, that's one that they get up for. It's their only national televised game all year. Mm-hmm. Second night of a back-to-back for Milwaukee after being in Utah. That's just one of those that – and look, Portland shot the ball really well. And Ayton gave a damn, right? I was reading on Blazers Edge that after Ayton got his ass whipped in the NBA Finals against Giannis and company, that's a game that he gets up for. And we all know when Ayton's engaged,
when he cares, he can be really good.
He's really good. And when he doesn't, well, which most of the time he doesn't. So it's a weird situation. I'm reserving judgment till after the All-Star break, and we see if the cord really gets pulled. But if I'm a Blazer fan and you end up as the eighth, kind of the eighth worst record in the NBA, that is going to be very problematic.
Yeah, then you only have a 6% chance at getting the top pick.
Well, and not only do you have a 6% chance of getting the top pick, but chances are you're just going to end up picking 7th or 8th.
Right.
Like, what are we doing? That's my thing. If you're top 5, maybe even top 6, you're not catching the Wizards. And by the way, I don't think people in this city have a stomach for catching the Washington Wizards. I don't think like you are not prepared to win 6 games all year. Look at the apathy and as crappy as we view this team now, and it's really not that bad. At times, it looks okay, and you've seen the development. I think you have a piece in Kamara, mm-hmm. who's become something,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Avdija looks like he's going to be a future cornerstone.
Yes, so I think you have those two guys. You know, the Shadens and the Scoots, even Clingan. I think that's kind of one of those, like, I wish we had a little more defined role of where those are going. I just don't want this to be a complete lost season. And I feel like if you end up 7th or 8th, I feel like this is just, you're just kicking the can down the road and you're getting marginally better with a marginal player sitting there at the 7th or 8th spot. So I am not mashing the panic button yet. But I will say that my hand is starting to move towards it just a bit.
Yeah, and the thing that I continue to struggle with is Chauncey's still in his first head coaching job, and he's a guy that for his own future and for his own benefit wants to and needs to win.
Yes.
So he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, and if you didn't want him to go down this path this year where they're kind of competitive, then you should have canned him before the season started and given someone else the job to say, hey, this is the year to lose.
This is the weirdest thing is because at the end of the day, you go back a couple years, you brought in a coach that was brought in to win and build around Dame. He did not sign up for this. I think you tried to get him to quit last year,
yep,
and he didn't. and you didn't let him go look at other jobs, and you won't fire him. You canned his brother. You said that you were going to go all in. Well, you didn't go all in. And now, all right, we're going with a youth movement. But at the same time, and I get that maybe it's not a good idea to just throw every young guy to the wolves, right? The idea of if you throw Scoot and you throw Sharp and you throw Klingon out there and they're not ready, right? Do you do more harm than good? Think about like with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, because let's be honest, for a while, Scoot was absolute dog ass.
Right. And putting him in the starting role and continuing to throw himself out there and letting him be that bad over and over again can be detrimental if you let it go on too long.
And Klingon, for the most part, hasn't not proven that he can even play 20 minutes a night.
Right.
Right. He just doesn't have. He's got flashes. And then Sharp is. I think he's the one guy that you're trying to really round into form and trying to get him to be a complete player. Mm-hmm. And if he's not willing to do that, you know, maybe you do have some tough lessons that he needs to learn. So I'm not one of these guys to say, hey, you need to play these guys 38 minutes a night. But I hope to God, and I'm not in those meetings and I'm not super attached to the Blazers, I would hope that there's some sort of plan.
Yep.
I would hope that there is a plan from Chaunce to management to Cronin to Jody to the players.
I have concepts of a plan.
Yeah, I hope that there's some sort of plan moving forward and we don't have multiple. For the last handful of years, it feels like we have multiple timelines, right? And we have multiple people with different ideas of where this is going to go. And that's the only part that scares me, is it feels a little disjointed right now that there isn't one path forward.
Yeah.
And while it's fun to see the Blazers have last night, if you're a Blazer fan, it's awesome.
If you just want to see this team win and you're like, whatever, they're going to have to figure it out some way. Like, I want them to entertain me and see them win. You're having a great ride right now.
Yes, but I just don't. I said that to me is a waste. Winning 24 games this year and ended up with the eighth worst record. What did we just do? Because let's be honest, outside of Denny, who I think you can say that and Tumani, right? Mm-hmm. I think you have two guys. And by the way, neither one of them is a star. But I think both of those guys in some way look like that is you plug them in into what you're doing, right? You got a 3-and-D guy, and it seemed to be who's just a badass on defense, and he's a role player, though. That guy is not a needle mover. He's a role player. He needs to be your fourth best player. But he's there. You got him.
Right.
And you've got another guy that appears to be a solid starter, mm-hmm. right? Solid starter, yep. and maybe becomes a little better than that.
Yeah, still really young.
Still really young, right? Maybe he becomes one of those, I don't know, like a better version of like a Rudy Gay or Tayshaun Prince,
sure.
like or you know, Iggy for Golden State,
right? Like a long 3-and-D capable scorer, yeah.
But you don't have, and this is my whole problem. You don't have one guy, not a single one, that you look at and said that is a foundational piece. And maybe Ant turns into one. I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe Klingon turns into one. Way too early to tell. Maybe Sharp. Maybe that's your best bet to turn into one. Or in Scoot, which appears to be a galaxy away. And that's my biggest problem. And it's been my biggest problem. Good players don't win in the NBA. They don't. It doesn't work. You need guys. And right now there isn't a single one on your roster that you can say definitively, or even more than likely, turns into the guy, or even the second guy. Maybe you've got the third wheel on this thing. I think you have the fourth wheel. Maybe you have the fourth and fifth wheel. Maybe you have the third, but you certainly don't have one that's one, and you don't have one that's two. And it scares the living daylights out of me that because you're relying right now on the third, fourth, and fifth wheel, that you're going to end up with the eighth damn best record or the eighth worst record.
And maybe get another third, fourth, or fifth wheel.
And get another third and fourth wheel. And that's just not good enough. You need someone that's a one or a two. And it appears that this draft is where to find them.
Yep.
So my hope is, enjoy this. You've won five or six. Great. Come trade deadline. Don't win. I think Danny always says 22 wins, right? That's the bet. Do not win more than 22 games.
Well, you're at 14, aren't you?
I think you're at 18.
18 already. 18, that's right.
So
they're chasing two teams.
Enjoy this while it lasts. And that was a fun night. But my God, after the deadline, start pulling the cord.
Yeah.
Stop playing the veterans at the end of games. Start getting some guys with some lower body injuries. Get some bad backs. Stop. Because if you end up with the eighth pick, all you did was absolutely waste this season. And let's be honest, I'm tired of wasted seasons because I think we've had about four of them in a row.
I think a lot of Blazers fans feel that way. Coming up next, we know that the Chiefs are the team right now, but who's got next? Suk with some ideas about who could be coming in behind the Chiefs as the next great team. We'll get to that next, but first, Ortner at SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Moving from the hardwood to the gridiron. Talked a little bit yesterday about what it's going to take to beat the Chiefs or emerge from the AFC, because a lot of teams have had chances and few have been able to get in their way. Obviously, the Chiefs, the it team right now, and it doesn't look like they're going anywhere anytime soon with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid kind of sharing the helm there. But was talking with you a little bit before the show about who could be coming in next and who might be the future teams of tomorrow. And not to say that anyone's going to come in and do what the Chiefs have done, because that's pretty ridiculous. But when you look at the landscape of the NFL and the teams who have tried that might be seeing their windows closing, who could be next?
I just look at the NFC. If I'm a head coach, I want nothing to do with the AFC. Nothing. I mean, you think about what you have to go through in the AFC. So if you are Josh Allen and you are Lamar Jackson and you are Joe Burrow, right? Can we, by the way, there's this other guy, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So without a doubt, the four best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, is that, like, there's not even someone that's in a conversation.
No.
I mean, it is 1 through 4 and it's not even close. And you have to see those sons of bitches every single year. I mean, think about it. If you're Lamar Jackson, you had to go through Josh Allen, couldn't get it done. Josh Allen had to go through Lamar Jackson, and your reward for going through Lamar Jackson
is you
get to go through Mahomes, right? The only one, by the way, that's gotten through Mahomes is Joe Burrow. Well, Tom Brady did it, but you know, he's gone. So you think about it, Buffalo is going nowhere. I mean, Buffalo's team is essentially set. You're going to have to tweak a little bit, and you need to get better in the secondary.
And they might have to get creative, because as we mentioned yesterday,
yeah, it's not a ton of cap space.
And that's only dwindling as Josh Allen gets paid more by the year. You even mentioned they may have to restructure that thing.
I think they'll restructure Allen. I think they're going to lower his cap because Allen's not going anywhere. You rely on it. They'll stretch it out and they'll find some wiggle room, and they got to be good in the draft and they got to get some young guys that come up. But as constructed, Buffalo's good. Buffalo's going nowhere, right? And then you look at the Ravens. The Ravens aren't going anywhere. In fact, the Ravens should continue to get better. I mean, Zay Flowers might have made a difference in that game with Baltimore. And, you know, Derrick Henry, maybe he gets a little older, but Derrick Henry appears to be ageless and is on still a very manageable contract. So Baltimore isn't going anywhere. And we sure as hell know that the Chiefs aren't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs have proven that they can revamp themselves. I mean, almost every Super Bowl team they have is a new version.
They're a chameleon. They put Reed Mahomes at the center and they figure the rest out around it.
And then you got Cincinnati. Cincinnati fired their defensive coordinator. You would hope that it gets better. They've really whiffed.
Yeah, they brought in Al Golden of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish to be their
defensive
coordinator.
Well, they just have whiffed on the defensive side of the ball. They've spent most of their draft capital on the defense.
And they spent a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball.
And it's crap. But I don't know if you can re-sign T. Higgins, but if you can get T. Higgins to come back, look, either way, you have Joe Burrow and you have Ja'Marr Chase. Guess what? You're not going anywhere. I want nothing to do with the AFC. I do not see a single AFC team, not a single one, that if you asked me for 5 years, let's go 4 to 5 years, right? That's the window we're talking about. I wouldn't bet two rat farts that there's another AFC team that will sniff a Super Bowl. I mean, Denver, Chargers, Titans, Jags, Colts, Texans. By the way, we thought the Texans were kind of the it team. The Texans regressed in almost every fashion.
Yep.
From Stroud's rookie year to this. Oh, and by the way, if Houston does kind of pop a little bit, might I add that there's yet another team in the AFC that you would have to go through if they can get their crap together, which I'm not sure they can. So to me, if you're talking about the future of the NFL and a team that could get to a Super Bowl, because once you get to the Super Bowl, you got a puncher's chance, right? Philly could have beat Kansas City a couple years ago when they were in the blew a 10-point second half lead,
yep.
Had the terrible fumble, scooped up, went the other way, awful pass interference call, horrific in the corner of the end zone. Philly
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's atrocious.
Yeah.
So you just got to get to the Super Bowl, and then you've got to slay the dragon. Whether that's Mahomes or whether that's Allen, whoever the NFC is going to see in the Super Bowl is nasty. So I think you start looking, if you want to talk about future teams, to me it's the NFC. And I think the team that if you are betting right now, because Detroit would be the one that you think kind of has it going forward, but Detroit lost both coordinators. Let's see where Detroit goes with this. And Detroit doesn't have a generational quarterback. They have a very good quarterback, but he's a statue. He doesn't scramble. He doesn't move around, and he doesn't necessarily play well against the blitz. And fun fact, if you want to talk about building your team, you know what all four teams that played in the conference title games had? There's like three stats that it's like a universal indicator. And number one, they were all top eight against the blitz. Mm. You have to be able to handle the blitz.
Okay.
And part of handling the blitz is the ability to move. And Detroit doesn't have that.
Yep.
I think that is a little scary. So I think when you look at teams in the NFC, the one that stands out to you is the Commanders. Philly is really good, and Philly has the best team. But I would look at Philly and say, can you keep this team together year after year after year? You pay your quarterback a ton of money. And by the way, your quarterback isn't that good. Your quarterback's like, he's kind of like Detroit. That's kind of what you're dealing with. He's a Joe Flacco. He's not a gravitational player.
No.
And you look at Philly. Philly is an expensive team, and eventually, although they've done so well in drafting, but eventually the Jalen Carters and the Mitchells and the Cooper DeJeans, like, you have to pay some of these guys. But Philly should be there for a long while, and everything else is kind of a big question mark. So Washington is the team that if Washington has a ton of money, and I mean a ton of money to go out and spend, this should be the worst version of the Commanders that you see going forward. But remember, this is the exact same thing we said about the Houston Texans, who ended up taking a huge step backwards. So to me, when I look at intriguing teams in the NFC, I think Chicago is intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay has one of the youngest rosters in the NFL.
And I think that LaFleur is a really good coach.
That I find very, very intriguing. And I think the Atlanta Falcons are an intriguing team. If Michael Penix ends up being a franchise quarterback. I wish we could have seen Penix for an entire year like we saw Bo Nix. Because if you're Denver right now, you look at Bo Nix, you're like, hey,
okay,
we're good.
We got something.
Yep. If Penix turns out to be that guy, I think Atlanta is a very, very, very interesting team. And then Minnesota, J.J. McCarthy. What happens there? Because that's the other thing that all of these teams have are truly elite quarterbacks, with the exception of Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Philly has a very good one. Detroit has a very good one, but they're elite everywhere else. That's really a hard way to do it, and it's also a hard way to keep that team together. So I just think if you're betting on futures, I think you need to look in the NFC, because I think the AFC is set. I think you have four teams in the AFC for the next 5 years. I don't see another team in the AFC sniffing that thing with the exception of Houston. Houston fired their OC. They fired their O-line coach. If Houston gets their act together up front, we can add Houston to that mix, and maybe they supplant Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But the AFC is set.
Yeah.
The AFC ain't going anywhere. You got 4 to 5 teams, and for the next 5 years, that's where you go. I feel like the NFC, man, it is an absolute crapshoot.
There for the taking, it feels
like. It is there for the taking. So if you're one of those teams, like if you're Chicago, if you're Green Bay, if you're Atlanta, San Francisco, you get aggressive, and you get aggressive now, because your window to win is right stinking now. It is up for grabs.
A lot of good thoughts coming in on the fan text line on this. We'll get to some of those thoughts on the other side. You're listening to Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. I'm just here watching videos of Sue's doppelganger jump off of cliff sides into icy water.
Yeah, I think he jumps off with like axes and stuff too.
Yeah, he does like a he's bald, he's got a big souk beard, very Viking like. Apparently, he's Norwegian and jumps off of mountainsides into chilly water, and that's his thing.
Yeah, they do like he listens. There's a like YouTube clips or little whatever TikToks, and there's usually some sort of Viking war chant, and then he dives off with like two battle axes.
I was watching a video of him doing a quote death dive 40 and a half meters or 132 feet.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yikes.
I'm all for the I'm all for some Viking silliness, but one, let's lay off all the trend. And I don't think we need to drop. How high was that thing?
40 and a half feet.
40 and a half feet. I did.
Or excuse me, 40 and a half meters, 132 feet.
See, that's insane. I jumped off the highest thing I ever jumped off of was the stupid, remember the bridge that it's out in.
Molten Falls, are you talking about?
Yeah, Molten Falls, where the one gal pushed the other one off and she like punctured a lung. Yeah, I think it's Molten Falls.
Yeah, it's like 60 feet up. There's like a small cliff that you can jump off. There's a medium. And
yeah, it's like in Yakult. Yeah, I jumped off that bridge, and I want to say that's like 50 feet.
I think it's closer to 60.
Is it?
It's high.
It's stupid, and it really hurts, and you think that you break your ankles when you go in, and then it's disorienting when you go down because you're not sure which way's up, and it takes your breath away, and don't do it. That's 60, if that's 60 feet, and this dude did
132.
Yeah, same bridge, didn't jump off it. There's a little rope swing underneath, because I'm a candy ass and I'm scared of heights, so I only did 40, and when I fell off the rope, I belly flopped. I had a bruise for like 2 weeks, the size of a volleyball right on my chest.
Yeah, 54 feet. Is the highest that I've ever done, and I've done it once, and I will not do it again. It hurt, it sucked. I can't fathom 132. So he almost tripled what that bridge is. I can't. Absolutely can't imagine. So he is way more Viking than I.
Wrapping up a couple thoughts from the text line on our Who's Got Next in the NFL. This one texter says, assuming the Chiefs continue under Mahomes, you're looking at best 5 to 7 years from now. So that means no Burrow and no Allen, assuming those guys are basically at the ends of their prime at that point in time.
But I don't know if that's the case. I mean, the way
quarterbacks last now,
Josh Allen's 28 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, all these guys, Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, you may be getting 7 to 10 more years,
yeah,
depending. And a lot can happen, you know, during that time, but you would think that these guys aren't going to retire at 34 or 35. They may be lesser versions of themselves, but it's going to be a bit.
And people asked about the Niners and about the Rams.
Yeah, the Rams are interesting in that I like the Rams, but Stafford is probably done. Like, if you watch Matthew Stafford, and I said this all year, the Rams' best is scary good. Like, the Rams' best could win a Super Bowl if you put it all together for one game. I mean, they beat the Bills this year.
Yep.
The Rams are really good, but when you watch Matthew Stafford play, he no longer is mobile. He can't move.
Well, and he's been hinting at and talking about retirement. He might just hang him up.
And he's beat up. So, unfortunately for the Rams, I just, unless you find another way to transition from Matthew Stafford to another elite quarterback. See, Stafford's 37. He's got a year, maybe, left. So the Rams are kind of in no man's land. And by the way, when Stafford walks away, does anyone doubt that McVay isn't going to punt on? McVay does not want to go through this again. I bet you when Stafford, because he talked about retiring a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He's got a cushy TV job with that pretty face. It wouldn't shock me if Stafford retires in a year, if McVay's like, yeah, I'm going to go work for NBC and make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And then he'll resurface like Jim Harbaugh.
Like when another really good gig opens up and he's recharged the batteries a little bit, he's like, oh yeah, you know what? I could take that team and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's like, I'm back. So the Rams are weird because I love the Rams' young core. I mean, their defense is the cheapest defense in the league, and it's a good defense. And guys like Kobe Turner and Jared Verse and Fisk, that's a good, fun group. And then you got, well, Cooper Kupp's kind of, he's not what he was. But, you know, you got a really elite back that's young, and you got Puka Nacua when healthy. So there's a lot to like about the Rams. I just think their timeline is kind of screwy in that they have this really young, exciting core, and they've got an old-ass guy that's on the back end of his career. So can they find another quarterback? So that's a big if. The other team in the NFC that I think is very intriguing is the Niners. Do you pay Brock Purdy, I mean, 50, 60 million bucks? Do you force him to play out the final year of his contract? And then do you go down the road of franchise tags? And then also, like, is McCaffrey a little long in the tooth. I think Debo's washed.
I think Debo's washed, and I think McCaffrey might be done. Like,
so, you know, the Niners are the interesting one that if you said, does that window get extended a little bit, that's a real puzzler for me because we're used to the Niners just being this stalwart team, although it kind of feels like every other year because of injuries. I just wonder, I don't know if the door is slammed shut, but I feel like it's a lot more closed than it is open. And I think this next run of teams in the NFC, I think when we're talking about the Falcons, I think when we're talking, obviously Philly is there. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the Commanders, when you talk about the Packers, I think the Bears are very interesting. I kind of feel like we're about to see, whereas the AFC is rock solid, I think we're about to see kind of a shifting of the NFC where we've seen the Rams and we've seen the Niners and we've seen the Cowboys win 13, 14 games. I just think we're going to, over the next couple years, I think we're going to see the rise of two or three new NFC teams that probably join Philadelphia. So I think it's going to be Philly. I think it's going to be Washington if things break their way. And then I think there's probably room for another one or two teams. And who those teams are, I think it's way more interesting. I just wish we could move Denver and the Chargers. I think if we were to take the Chargers...
Yeah, somebody did ask about Harbaugh and the Chargers. And yeah, if it's not for having to go through Mahomes, especially in that division, well, maybe not, you feel differently.
And not just
that.
Mahomes, but all those teams.
Right.
If I could be the NFL commissioner for the next 5 years, I would love to work out a trade where I give you the Niners... I'll give you the Vikings, and I'll give you, who else you want to give? You know what? Yeah, why don't I throw in like a side of the Atlanta Falcons? It's kind of a young, interesting team. I'm going to give you that.
And you're just doing a full reorg.
And then you give me back the Denver Broncos. Love what Denver has cooking.
Uh-huh.
You give me the Chargers with Herbert and Harbaugh,
uh-huh.
And I want the Houston Texans.
Okay.
Because I think Houston's got a shot, but they're just going to get their teeth kicked in by the better teams. I want to move those into the NFC.
And that is Sook's shifted balance of power.
And now imagine every year going to the playoffs and we're sitting there and we're thinking, oh my God, we got Buffalo, we got Baltimore, right? We got Kansas City just duking out. And then the NFC, you give me Philly and Washington and Denver and the Chargers. And I get Herbert and Knicks and Jalen Hurts and I got Jaden Daniels. Now we got something cooking. I just feel like there's some really good AFC quarterbacks, Herbert, Knicks, and Stroud that are just... They're just going to
be there for a while.
They're going to be there for a while, and they're just going to be lost. They're going to be the next generation of Philip Rivers, and that stinks because those are fun teams, young, a lot of space, and they're going to continue to get better, and I think they're just going to run into the brick wall that is the elite quarterbacks in that conference.
Want to get back on our coaching carousel, continue a conversation from yesterday, but also want to get Sook's thoughts on one team who did not come up in these NFC discussions, the Seattle Seahawks, and where they fit in the up-and-coming teams discussion. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. You're listening to Primetime, 1080 The Fan.